season 2 of 13 Reasons Why. You know, special interest of that for that show around here for several reasons. One of them, that the show was once again partly filmed here in Sonoma County. And two, because it is a statement about a number of issues facing kids today, including teen suicide. And Stan Collins is with us this morning. He's a suicide prevention specialist with Each Mind Matters. Good morning, Stan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you here. Let me read the disclaimer that Netflix is attaching to the opening of 13 Reasons Why Season 2. It says, quote, 13 Reasons Why is a fictional series that tackles tough real-world issues, taking a look at sexual assault, substance abuse, suicide, and more. By shedding a light on these difficult topics, we hope our show can help viewers start a conversation. But if you are struggling with these issues yourself, this series may not be right for you, or you may want to watch it with a trusted adult. And if you ever feel you need to talk to somebody about it, reach out to a parent, a friend, a school counselor, or an adult you trust. Call a local helpline or go to 13reasonswhy.info, because the minute you start talking about it, it gets easier. Unquote. Is that enough, Stan?
You know, they did a lot better this time around with season 2 with the communication and the preparation. You know, there are sensitive topics, and there was, I think they made a lot of mistakes on the first go round, but, you know, I think on some level we have to appreciate that they're at least, they did pay attention. They did try to respond in a positive way.
Well, that's good news. The series itself, the season 2 series, is getting mixed reviews this morning. But, of course, it brought up so much. And was the showing of that miniseries an overall good thing because of the conversations it sparked?
You know, it's hard to balance that. You know, there's different individuals you can talk to. Some will say that, yeah, absolutely. And I see this, and I talk to some youth, and they'll say, yeah, it made me think about how I treat people. And it did, you know, I would say that on some level, we have to agree that more people were talking about the topic of suicide, especially youth suicide last year because of the release of the show than ever before.
Yes.
I think the issue was, is that worth the risk of the youth who were, you know, because of the unsafe messaging that was in season 1, is that worth exposing the youth or having that increased risk of youth who are already thinking about suicide? Because we did see an increased incidence of that. So, you know, how do you balance that?
Yeah.
On some level, I think the biggest issue was that when it forced this issue of suicide into our conversations, when we looked in the mirror, I think a lot of people were upset, not just from the content, but it made them realize that our society was not ready to be having these conversations, or not prepared. Maybe
yeah.
We were ready, but we were not prepared to have these conversations.
And the concept which did come up in season 1, which was, you know, and a lot of parents took this to heart, to watch that series with their kids. Helpful?
You mean to the suggestion to have the parents watch it with them?
Yes.
Yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of things that youth and teenagers are able to do, you know, outside of the guidance of their parents. And
oh, yeah.
For those parents who sat down with their parents or those, you know, with their kids, fantastic. The reality is that that's not the experience for most youth who are out there. Most youth did watch it in isolation or, you know, binge watch it episode after episode with no break in the, you know, there was no break to bring reality back into the focus for a little bit. So that was a big issue with the first season.
And I was going to ask you, Stan, about the vulnerability of people, and especially kids in this case, when it comes to already being in a state of confusion or sadness, depression, and how likely they are to, you know, more likely they are to respond to, you know, 13 Reasons Why as opposed to watching anything else on TV.
Yeah, you know, there's something called the Virtue effect, which is basically when we have negative messages out there about suicide, we're going to have negative activities related to suicide. But on the flip side of it is the Papageno effect. When we have positive messages and promote resources and resiliency, we'll have an increase in help-seeking behavior. And so 13 Reasons Why and the Netflix team did do a study with Northwestern, you know, and they kind of touted it as, hey, you know, 70% of people who watched the show didn't have a negative outcome, which maybe in the entertainment world is a great thing. But in the suicide prevention and mental health field, I immediately went to, but what about the 30% who did?
Yeah.
You know, so that was my biggest concern. And, you know, it's not that any instance of a messaging around suicide is going to put the idea into somebody's head.
Right.
It's that if somebody is already having those thoughts of suicide, you know, in the first season we saw, you know, youth who would come into emergency rooms and reach out for support after an attempt or with ideation. And a lot of conversations were had around that. And they would talk about how they identified with the main character and that she seemed so peaceful and, you know, that. And not to mention there was a lot of unsafe messaging about means and methods and a demonstration of a suicide attempt. So there was just a lot that could have been avoided, I think, and still had the emotional impact and brought the topic of suicide in a much safer way into our in our conversation.
I think one of the other things, Stan, that, sort of reared its ugly head during the season one of 13 Reasons Why was about, you know, the central figure in all of this. And it, you know, strikes fear in the hearts of parents and friends, too, who wonder, you know, if there are no blatant signs, how are we ever going to be able to look for something like this in a kid?
Yeah, and I think that's where the show missed the mark as a teachable moment. Yeah, you know, you can actually, you can absolutely have that engaging storyline, but, you know, there was a lot of mistakes as far as not having any association with, you know, the possibility of a mental illness like depression. The adults in the show, her loving parents, you know, still totally missed the mark, and the counselor at school was completely inept. So
yeah.
It demonstrated a lot of things that aren't reality. Most school counselors I work with are amazing people. Most parents who are that engaged in their kids' lives. But I think what it did, you know, that, you know, what you said just now, what it does for me is it makes me want to work even harder. You know, I work every week to try to educate people about the warning signs, about the risk factors. But I think there's two parts of the equation. A lot of times when we talk about suicide prevention, you know, it's me or somebody teaching someone to look out for their friend. And I think it's one of the conversations we really have to have is reducing the stigma and the misconceptions about mental health so that people who are having thoughts of suicide or who are struggling can have some accountability and say, no, it's okay. I'm having these thoughts, but I know what to do. I know I need to reach out. I know, you know, I'm not going to be judged by this. I have a saying that goes, when you speak the name of the beast, it will retreat. You know, so the more that we talk about suicide, the more we bring it into the sunlight, that's when suicide prevention begins.
Boy, it seems like we've been talking about removing the stigma of mental health issues for decades now, maybe centuries. I'm not sure. Is there anything that following the characters in 13 Reasons Why, is there anything in that story that could serve people like you or people who are, you know, sort of suffering that aftermath of a suicide?
I don't know that there's much to help per se, you know, and I've warned people and a lot of people I know who have. I'm a suicide loss survivor, and a lot of people I know who have lost someone, especially a child, you know, we're told just stay clear. It's just, you know, too tough.
Yeah,
you know, why
raw.
Put yourself through that? But I do think, again, that if we're having these conversations about suicide, I think it's a call to action for us, especially to parents, to say, look, if you don't know what warning signs for suicide are, you can go to suicideispreventable.org and learn about the warning signs. You can learn about what questions to ask. The number to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. But thank you very much for having me today and bringing awareness to suicide prevention.
Happy to do it, Stan. That is Stan Collins, suicide prevention specialist with Each Mind Matters. And yes, there are plenty of resources available, including, you know, somebody sitting or standing right next to you. I hope you reach out if that is the case for you.